About to say today, Mark, on the Travel Guys, what do we have?
In the travel news, taking your pet on a plane is getting more expensive, and the president indicates he's concerned about how the immigration crackdown is impacting the tourism industry. Those stories next in the travel news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment today at 11:20, we'll talk about airport lounges. They've become so popular, people can't get in. But what if your credit card or premium ticket promises you entry?
The American River Conservancy has a series of cool fundraising concerts this summer in Placerville. At 11:35, we have all the details.
The latest edition of the Mailbag comes up at 11:45 today. We'll answer your questions on national parks, baggage fee refunds, credit card surcharges, real ID, and hotel bonus program benefits.
Another agenda full of things to make you smarter the next time you hit the road. Classes in session right here on the Travel Guys.
All right, folks, thanks for coming along. It's going to be a great show. We got some good stuff to cover. As we've been promising for a while, we've got that mailbag, and boy, you had a lot of stuff to select from, didn't you, Mark?
I did. I had to leave a lot of stuff on the cutting room floor because we only have time for about to answer, you know, four or five questions in a segment. So keep sending them in. I will answer as many of them personally as I can, and then we'll pick out some of them and answer them on the air. Just got back from a trip across Nevada last week. Well, actually, yeah, it was week before last, I guess, at this point. We got home on Monday. But, you know, if you're looking for something that you can do in a car, or if you're a motorcyclist and you're looking for a cool ride, Highway 50 would be a really good choice. We went out on 80 to Wells all the way across Nevada and then dropped down to Ely and came back on the old highway. But you could go out and come back on the same road. There's nothing to prevent you from doing that. Just wasn't the route that we chose. But Ely, Eureka, and Austin are the three main towns. Ely and Eureka are where you will find the most accommodation and the most restaurants and things of that sort. But there are cool things in each of those little towns. And if you are an off-the-beaten-track person, you can go down a rabbit hole on the Internet and plan your own thing. There are all kinds of – there's a castle in Austin that a mining guy built 150 years ago and lived in for a little while and then moved away. And it's not a castle anymore, but they still call it Stokes Castle. There's an old opera house in Eureka. There's a historic train ride in Ely. There are ghost towns all over the place. There's an old drugstore in McGill where people walked away in the early 1960s. And the drugstore was preserved as a museum, an old Rexall drugstore. And the things in it are the things that were on the shelf that day in the 1960s when they locked the door and walked away.
So you get to go wander through the drugstore and look at the products still on the shelves?
Yeah, and it's not very big. You know, it's probably 1,500 square feet. So it's an old-time, small-town drugstore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all the things that are on the store on the shelf are all packaged and priced as they would have been back in the 1960s. So it's really a step back in time, not only to see what they were selling and how much they were selling it for. The train ride in Ely was really a lot of fun. They took us out to an old mining area and where we could learn a little bit about what went on there. You know, the gold rush was in the 1840s. And the silver rush in Nevada kind of followed in the 1860s, 50s, 60s. You had a civil war around that time, which didn't affect the West too much because mostly the West was unsettled open territory. And then the mines played out, and these little towns in the middle of nowhere were just completely forgotten by people. In fact, was it Look magazine or Like magazine? One of the magazines 40 or 50 years ago called it the loneliest road in America. Why would anybody go out here? If you go, make sure that your gas tank is full and you've checked all your fan belts and everything, because if you get out here and anything happens, you're in the middle of nowhere. And truly, it is the middle of nowhere. You can drive on Highway 50 and not have anybody come the other direction for 20 or 30 minutes sometimes at a time. And so it does kind of harken back to a different era. And if you're the kind of person, like I say, who likes off the beaten track, Route 66 is off the beaten track, but Highway 50 is truly, through Nevada, off the beaten track. So if you want to go someplace where you can just be alone with the world, that would be the place to do it. I got to shut up here, or I could carry on all day. But we really had a good time coming across the valley.
It's amazing. We hear you talk about your love for the classic highways, and then we have your partner Clayton Whitehead to come on and talk about exotic places in Europe. And each one of you love what you're talking about equally as much. It's fascinating.
And as we speak, Clayton is in the back of the office here, talking to a bunch of people he's taking to Switzerland in 2 weeks. We do a little pre-tour orientation so that folks can answer questions and that are going to a foreign country. Anyway, he's in the back of the Sports Leisure office right now giving an orientation to a bunch of folks who are headed to Switzerland next month. Summer vacations averaging a week and a half as opposed to 1.8. So that would have been, you know, like 9 working days. So now they're doing 7 to 8 working days. Travelers are booking trips further in advance and are more likely to stay closer to home, but are spending more per day on experiences. That word experiences is starting to pop up more and more when you read travel press releases. It's kind of the word of the day. FIFA says that World Cup sales in the United States for the upcoming World Cup are light, as visa delays, economic uncertainty, and concerns about immigration enforcement are discouraging international visitors. You think? Maybe? You got the World Cup, and you got the Olympics, and a lot of foreigners come to drive Route 66, which will have its centennial next year. You might want to be a little nicer to people, because they're not going to come and spend their money if they think you're not nice people.
Yeah.
That was just a little editorial there.
There you go.
Speaking of people not coming, the drop in Canadian tourists grew in May. Road trips are down 38%. That's border crossings by car. And air travel is down 24% compared to last year. Those are the biggest numbers so far. The Canadians are not happy with us. How expensive is it to fly with a pet, a dog or a cat, or heaven forbid, what else that you would bring on an airplane with the rest of us? Fees are going up, but flying with a dog could range in price from $95 to $200 one way. And if you have a connection with some airlines, it costs more than a nonstop. There are new restrictions in regards to size and weight and where the pet has to stay. This is in result of a couple situations where pets have gotten loose in cabins or have caused fracases among passengers, so the airlines are kind of cracking down. If you are somebody who regularly travels with a pet that is not a service animal, this doesn't have anything to do with service animals. This has to do with people who are taking Fido or Fluffy along on the airplane. Just know, we've talked about this before, airplanes are not always the best place for animals. Some animals do fairly well. Many do not. So you might want to talk to your veterinarian before you take your animal on an optional trip. But also make sure you do your homework, because even if you regularly fly with your animal, some of the rules have changed recently. Some of the fees have changed. Not all of them have gone up. Most of them have a little bit. But the restrictions have changed really dramatically as to how you can, what you can bring in the cabin and what you haven't, especially from airline to airline, especially with international airlines. So if you're going to fly with a pet on vacation this summer, you have been forewarned to do your homework. Generation Z and millennials are prioritizing experiences on vacation. Mm-hmm. There's that word again. They are prioritizing unique experiences over traditional destinations. So what that kind of tells me is that some of our younger travelers are saying, there's too many people there. You know, this may not be Niagara Falls or Mount Rushmore, but this is a really cool place. There aren't as many people, and we can have a better time here. So as a tour operator, I get that, because for years and years and years, that's sort of been my job, is take them to Mount Rushmore when there aren't as many people there and take them to other cool places in the meantime, show them things that they wouldn't normally get to see and sprinkle in those big attractions and go, you know, early in the day, late in the day, day of the week, time of the month, time of the year, stuff like that. That's what the smart traveler does. Here's an interesting concept, Tom. The idea of a universal travel loyalty program. So in other words, instead of Marriott Bonvoy and Hilton Honors and SkyMiles and all that stuff, there would be one currency that everybody would feed into. The people who propose this, it makes so much sense. There's no way in hell the airlines or the hotels ever go for it because it's too good for the consumer. It would limit their ability. You know, now if they decide that a hotel should be 50,000 points instead of 30,000 points, or a ticket should be 75,000 miles instead of 40,000 miles, they just do it. If there was a system like this, they wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
They'd have to make application to make changes in their award system and stuff like that. They would lose all of their freedom. But I would just tell you, as I spent about 15 minutes walking through this and reading this proposal, the headline is Travel Loyalty Inches Towards Universal Points. Inches would be an appropriate word. I don't see the airlines, like I said, and the hotels ever going for this, but it would be a huge win for the consumer, because if you earned miles or points on United, then you could use them at Hilton. And you can do that, some of that now, but you have to transfer points, and some of the transfers are better than others. Anyway, tremendous idea. We'll let you know how quickly it goes down the chute. How do you feel about all the changes at Southwest Airlines? Travelers United asked a four-question survey. Here are the results. I pick my airline by convenience and price, so the changes won't matter. 42%, 4 out of 10. I was a loyal Southwest customer and liked it the way it was, 3 out of 10. I'm not happy about the changes, but will still fly Southwest if they remain affordable, 23%, roughly 2 out of 10. I have a Southwest credit card, and I am elite loyal, so I will not be affected by that much, 5%. So if you figure all that out, there's about 70% of the people who say, yeah, well, I'll still fly Southwest if they're the cheapest and I determine they're the best and stuff. There's 30% of the people who say, I liked it the way it was. You might not necessarily lose them. They might like it the way it is, or they might not. But that's why Southwest made that decision. Is there's a Travelers United survey that basically says 2 out of 3 people would like them to up their game a little bit. So that's what they're trying to do. This is, I think, the story. This is the headline of the week. Trump promises immigration change for hospitality. So if you've been following the immigration thing, It has deteriorated from we're going after crooks and criminals and bad people and all this stuff, to we're going after people who speak out, to we're not getting the numbers we're supposed to get, so we're going to raid the car wash and the Home Depot. Now, I'm not here to argue about whether somebody who doesn't have the proper paperwork should be in the country. That's an argument for another day. These people who are looking for day laborers and stuff like that, I don't think they're a huge threat to our system. But nonetheless, it's interesting that the president in the midweek decided to make this statement. He obviously spoke to a farmer or somebody in the hotel industry or both, who said, dude, if you round up all these people, we're not going to have anybody to work. And that's going to be a big problem, because we had the same problem during COVID when people stayed home. So now the president has said, quote, our great farmers and people in the hotel and leisure business have been stating that our very aggressive policy on immigration is taking very good long-time workers away from them, and those jobs being almost impossible to replace, Trump said. Touché. You said it, Mr. President. There's no better way to say it than that. I don't know how you pull this off with the immigration thing and stuff, but you are correct, sir, in your statement that rounding up people all over the place, some of them at random, is going to cause some problems. We're not going to have enough housekeepers or maintenance workers or some of the, you know, people to pick the fruits and vegetables. So I'm glad that somebody has come to that realization. Here's kind of another thing. This is for disabled travelers. Before Joe Biden left office, they passed a new airline wheelchair standard. We talked about it on this program. Basically, people who travel with wheelchairs and scooters and stuff like that have a heck of a problem with things getting broken. They turn over the wheelchair to you as they check in, and when you give the wheelchair back to them on the other end, some piece of it is broken, makes it inoperable, makes it really hard for that person to even leave the leave the airport. So airlines have to to pay a little more attention and put a little more priority, and that's what this regulation was designed to do, is, hey, dude, It's a guy's wheelchair. It's the way he gets around. So don't throw it against the wall. You know, you got to pay more attention. Well, now this rule has been delayed. They say that the airlines basically are behind this delay. They don't want this to happen at all. And because all it's going to do is it's going to cost them more money. And I don't doubt that handling wheelchairs and assistive devices and stuff like that takes a lot of time and effort and costs the airline a lot of money. And boo-hoo. You know, some of us are not as lucky as the rest of us, and some of us have other issues. So you got to serve everybody in the public. So figure it out. You know, figure it out and let this rule take effect so that people who travel with an assistive device can have an expectation when they get to the other end that it will be waiting for them and it will be in the same condition that they gave it to you. And finally, in Maine, lawmakers have passed a rule to force hotels to eliminate those little personal shampoos and soaps and stuff like that. This has already happened in a number of states, including California, but it hasn't happened everywhere yet. Maine says they will join the other 16 states at the first of the year. You can no longer go into the hotel and rip off the little shampoos and soaps and take them to your next place because they're in big bottles on the wall. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your travel news for today.
Yeah, I feel, you know, somewhat guilty when I open that drawer in my bathroom and there's all that stuff that I'd pilfered from the hotels over all the years.
But let me ask you, how guilty would you feel if, because I see those big bottles on the wall, and I have no doubt that there are people who go into the hotel and empty those bottles.
Oh,
just stand there and hit
really?
The plunger. Plenty
oh,
of,
no.
Oh, I have to
no,
believe
no,
it. I have to
no.
believe that happens.
I hope not. All right, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom. Don't forget, check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. And right now at Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House through the end of June, they're offering a special, super special. This is, Mark and I were talking this before we went on the air. This is pretty tough to beat. It's a petite filet and a petite lobster tail, which includes fresh asparagus. Yeah, and San Francisco sourdough bread. It's all $34.95. That's a very, very good price. Mark, you often say about Rudy's,
I hate the asparagus. I love the clam chowder. I'm just not an asparagus guy, especially the way you said it there. Asparagus?
Yeah. Well, you know, you had mentioned that Rudy's isn't cheap.
No.
But here is something that's extremely affordable. And Mark is inclined to make two meals out of anything that he orders from Rudy. So this one's really good. Okay. Petite filet and lobster tail, $34.95. Get it now. They also have the Travel Guy special, $29.95 for a 6-ounce lobster tail. So lots of good choices, lots of good food. Great place to go with friends, and you be sure to tell them the Travel Guy sent you. They're right there off of Highway 50 at Hazel. All right, as promised, coming up next, we're going to talk about Clayton Whitehead's favorite pastime, and that's hitting the airport lounges. But guess what, folks? Well, there's a snag going on.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Sacramento's favorite and longest operating tour company celebrated its 46th anniversary on the road last week. Actually, June the 8th was Sports Leisure Vacation's 46th anniversary. We have started our 47th year in the travel industry, taking mature travelers all over the planet, everything from overseas to all over the United States. Next year, we'll have special centennial trips on Route 66. We take folks to San Francisco to see all types of shows and entertainment. If you are a mature traveler, you should look us up at sportsleisure.com. That's all one word, sportsleisure.com, and join the thousands of Sacramento travelers who make their Sports Leisure Vacations their travel choice.
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. A link to our special guest today and always at TravelGuysRadio.com. We've spoken to Melissa once before, a few years ago. It's time to bring her back. Melissa Lobach, a development director for the American River Conservancy. We're talking about their 2025 concert series. Melissa, welcome to the Travel Guys. Tell us what your cause is all about.
Thank you very much for having me. This summer, we're very excited to bring back our very popular series of summer concerts at the lovely and historic Wakamatsu Farm in Placerville. Basically, these are family-friendly outdoor events, and they are delightful evenings full of live music, delicious food, and community connections, all supporting and preserving local rivers and lands for life. We've got three concerts. The first one's on June the 21st with the Island of Black and White. They are a soulful powerhouse of rock, funk, blues, folk, and reggae. Then the following month in July, on the 26th of July, we'll be featuring Achilles Wheel. That's a high-energy roots world rock and roll that makes you want to dance. And then we'll wrap up the series this year on August the 16th with Red Dirt Ruckus. They're a healthy dose of bluegrass, sprinkle of reggae, and a big spoonful of funk. So we're really excited to have them all this year.
Melissa, is this concert series something that you've done before, or is it something new?
This is our third year of offering concerts at Wakamatsu Farm. We're excited to be hosting some of the same bands and new bands this year. And we're also really excited that our volunteers who have helped us with these fundraisers in past years are also showing up too. So if you're interested in volunteering and or joining us for the event, you can definitely contact me, Melissa, at arconservancy.org.
And we will put a link, that link at travelguysradio.com in case you're driving around. Don't try to write it down. We'll have it at travelguysradio.com for you. These concerts are in the evenings. With gates opening at 5:30 and the music at 6:30, what does it cost to attend?
It's $20 online for an adult ticket or $25 at the door, and kids are free, but we don't allow pets during these concerts.
Ah, important to know. Is this a sit in chairs or sit on the ground sort of thing?
Bring your own chairs, blankets, reusable cups, and headlamps, and a wonderful evening together.
Headlamps, yeah, that indicates that it's going to be kind of a dark area, and you want to be able to find your cell phone at the end of the evening.
Yeah.
Melissa, quickly, tell us what these benefit the American River Conservancy. Tell us a little bit about what that's all about.
So these concerts specifically benefit our Resilience Reserve, which is a fund of money that we have to respond quickly to natural disasters and climate challenges on the properties that the Conservancy owns. Right now, we are responsible for stewarding over 14,000 acres of land that we have permanently protected. If you own 1 acre, you have some sense of what a tremendous responsibility this is and how much money it costs. So, yeah, imagine trying to manage 14,000 wild acres. So we definitely need some surplus funds for handling especially the unexpected things that are going to happen in the future.
Three evening concerts to benefit the American River Conservancy. Always very reasonably priced. Outdoor concerts, great summer venue up near Placerville. Go to travelguysradio.com and you can get some more information. Melissa, thank you for joining us today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
There you go. Boy, that's quite a task. They bite off a rather large project. And once again, travelguysradio.com, the dates and times of all the shows. And the venue is just absolutely fabulous. Are you ready to go to work?
I am ready. I will also remind folks that if you do send us a question, and I can possibly answer it if it's something that's just not rambling opinions, but it's more you're actually asking a question and need some help, I will do my best to either answer it or try to point you in the right direction.
Okay, let's start off here. Let's get going. Leon writes, we are planning a visit to a couple of national parks in early fall, Yosemite and Sequoia. But I'm hearing that the parks won't have staff and that there'll be long lines to get in. We are rethinking our decision. Have any wisdom that might help us in our decision-making, Mark?
Well, the national park thing, we talked about this on the program previously. It's a little confusing. The park entry and the park maintenance, things like the restrooms in the park and trash cans and people to, you know, rescue folks or just to be out on the trail to make sure that things are going well, those are all done by National Park Service employees, and that's where the issue is. Concessions, which would mean, like, if you went to Yosemite Valley and you were staying in Yosemite Lodge, or you were eating in one of the restaurants, those are concessions, and those are run by people who pay the Park Service, usually a percentage of their gross receipts, for the privilege of running that concession and making money in the parks. Those are not run by park staff. They are entirely operated by separate corporate entities. So this is kind of a yes and a, this may not be, Leon, the answer that you're looking for, but the answer is a yes and a no. If you're trying to get into Yosemite Park, you're going to have a reservation. And if they don't have enough people, Park Service employees, to man all the gates in the morning, then there's going to be a backup and you're going to have a line getting in. If you go later in the day, you won't need a reservation. There probably won't be as many people trying to get in, and so it probably won't impact you much. If you drive up there and get to the park before 6 o'clock in the morning, same thing. It won't impact you much, but you'd have to leave Sacramento at, you know, 3 in the morning. So the answer is, when you're thinking of things that are moneymaker things for the park, then they're probably not impacted. If you're thinking of things like a visitor center or a ranger program or something like that, then that is much more likely your experience in the park. If you're relying on ranger-led programs, is much more likely to be impacted than if you just go to the park, spent the night, ate dinner, and came home. But remember, things like visitor centers and stuff are operated by the Park Service. So don't be surprised if you get to a national park this summer and find out that the cutbacks. Now, the other thing is that a lot of these cutbacks and staff reductions have been taken back, either by the courts or by people who did them in the current administration, realizing that, oops, maybe we got rid of too many people here or from the wrong place, and then they're asking people to come back. So that's all kind of shaking itself out in real time. I would suggest if you're thinking about visiting the parks somewhere that you can drive to in California, I would go online and do my homework and make sure that folks in the last few days have not been having issues that you will run into when you get there. Do your homework. That's the best wisdom I can give you, no matter what parks you're going to anywhere in the country.
What do you think about bike rentals, Mark? Do you think they will be impacted, or is that a vendor?
That's a concessionaire, generally, so usually that's not going to be something that there's going to be somebody there to rent the bicycle to you.
All right. Okay, we're doing the mailbag here with the travel guy. Selena says that recently she flew Delta Airlines to Philadelphia, and when she arrived in Sacramento and went to pick up her two bags, they weren't there. Filled out the form and waited 2 days for her bags to show up. The airline emailed her and asked her if she would like to come and head out to the airport and pick them up. And her thought was, well, shouldn't they have delivered them to me? And also she said, I paid $40 each for these checked bags. This is my question, too. Seems like I should get a refund since the bags didn't arrive with me. Isn't that what you're paying for?
If you went to a restaurant,
yeah,
and you ordered dinner,
yeah,
and after a reasonable amount of time, 20 or 30 minutes, they came and said, oh, you know what? Something has gone wrong with your dinner, and it's coming. It's going to be here. It's going to be here, but it's going to be here. It's going to be an hour before it comes. And, you know, imagine what your response would be. Well, but they'd say, but you know what? Just pay us for the dinner anyway, and we'll have it delivered to your house when it comes up. I mean,
it's kind of what it feels like, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I mean, you in good faith, you go and you pay the airline, and we've already talked about how this is one of their profit centers. You pay them. Is it not reasonable to expect that if the bag doesn't show up on your flight on the other end, I'm not talking about the flight 2 hours later, I'm talking about on the flight, or it's already there because you were delayed for some reason and it flew on a different plane and it beat you there. If the bag is not there when you are ready to claim it, then you should be refunded the baggage charge. That's the most simplest customer service thing I can possibly imagine. I mean, it just, to me, it's a total no-brainer. You paid somebody for a service, they didn't perform the service, so you get your money back. I mean, at a minimum, I would think that, you know, and here's a coupon so that the next time you fly, your bag is on us. Because you've got an angry person. And then to tell them that, and this is a move, this is not the first time I've heard this recently. The airline says, well, if you want to come and pick up your bags up, they're here. Well, wait a minute. I paid you to get them here. You didn't get them here. Now, I'm the person who's supposed to come out to the airport and pick them up? Fooey on that. Don't let them horse tie you into that. Make sure that if you're a person and you have a baggage delay and the bags come in, then they should be delivered to you. And they should be delivered promptly. You've already been waiting for them. So stand your ground there. And I would ask at least for a voucher that would allow you an equivalent discount. Listen, this should be, Charlie, our guy at Travelers United, this should be a complete no-brainer. It should be, the rule should be, if your bags don't show up, your money is refunded, period, end of discussion.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, John writes, more and more, he says, more and more in his travels, I see restaurants adding 3-4% to credit card charges. Of course, no one accepts checks anymore, so what options are available for diners who don't have $200 in cash to pay a check? Are those surcharges ever legal? I haven't seen them in hotels or on airline tickets yet, but I'm sure that's a coming.
Maybe not for hotels and airline tickets, because restaurants generally don't issue their own credit cards. So when you go into a restaurant, you're not using your McDonald's credit card. So McDonald's isn't making any money. They have to pay the interchange fees and all that stuff to get your payment processed. So you may not see this spread too much past restaurants, but you're going to see it in other categories, attractions, people that don't have their own branded credit cards. I'm seeing it a lot. On the road, we went to Ely, Nevada, and I argued with a restaurant. The guys, they sprung a 3.5% charge. See, the other deal is they can do this. It is legal to do it, but they have to tell you about it beforehand. So it's got to be printed on the restaurant, or it's got to be on a sign on the wall that's easily visible. It's got to be something that you would know it before you went in and sat down in the restaurant, or before you handed the guy the card to charge your bill, that they were going to add 3-3.5%. I've even seen a couple of them as high as 4%. Why is this happening? Because, folks, you're walking around with these credit cards in your wallet that are giving you all these points and all these benefits, which, of course, are being watered down constantly by the people who issue the cards. So it's not a win. If you are paying, if you are asked, let's narrow this down. If you go into an establishment, they want more than 2%. For the privilege of using a credit card and you don't have to use one, then don't use it. Because the benefits are only in a very few rare cases going to be more than 2%. So that should be where you draw the line. If you go in and they say it's a 3% charge, it's in your best interest to pay cash. You may not have the ability to pay cash, so you may be stuck with that. But you start getting up to, you know, let's say you go to buy a piece of furniture someplace and it's $800 and they spring, going to use a credit card, so we're going to charge you 3%. It's $24. That's a reasonable amount of cash. So what they're banking on, the credit card companies, is that you'll go ahead and pay the fee anyway. And the merchant doesn't care, because like at my place, we ran the numbers the other day, it cost me roughly 2.97% every time, on the average, every time somebody uses a credit card. Some of them are less, some of them are more, but basically it's a 3% hit. So I build it into the cost of my product. Some of these people are not doing that, or they've built it in and now they're deciding they're going to get it from you anyway.
Is this also the same if you use a debit card, which isn't a credit card, the money comes directly out of your bank, and right. directly to the vendor. Is that the same? Are they charging a charge for a debit card as well?
In some cases, yes, but the rules there are different, and in many cases, the rules that allow them to add a surcharge for a credit card do not allow them to add a surcharge for a debit card. Because remember, the reason the business is adding the surcharge is because they're paying that fee. You went in and bought a $50 dinner, you used your credit card, and they're paying the credit card company a buck and a half, 3%. So they want to get that money back from you. All they're doing is trying to break even without having to add it into the price of the product. My argument would be that it's a cost of doing business, so you add it into the price of the product. Now, if you want to give a discount to people who pay cash, that's a whole other discussion. So, but if you see these credit card surcharges and they're more than 2%, I can pretty much guarantee you no matter how many times points or whatever bonus or Hilton pesos or whatever you're getting, it's not going to exceed 2% of the value. So when you see the 3 or 4% charge, it's not to your benefit to succumb to that.
We are the Travel Guys. It's Travel Guys Mailbag Day today. James writes, has the real ID scare passed? Has this real ID scare passed? Well, that's not easy to say. The real ID scare passed. I'm flying in July and never got one. Sound like people are still getting on planes, so what was the big deal?
James, go get an ID. It's easy. You have to go online and do some paperwork, and then you have to bring some stuff with you. Had a friend who did it last week. He was in and out of DMV, said in 15 minutes. He had an appointment, and they told him he'll get his real ID in a couple weeks. Here's the deal. You're right, James. It wasn't as big a deal as some people made it out to be. They were prepared. A higher number of people had the real ID than they thought going in. But at some point, James, they're going to say, okay, you don't have a real ID, you're not getting on the plane. So you don't want to be in that position for them to do that and you to have to take off work one day or something like that, have it cost you a bunch of money. So just do it. It's something that you're going to have to do ultimately if you travel at all and you think you've dodged the real ID bullet. It's only temporary, so just get it done, and that way it won't be a hassle at any time in the future.
One more. Going to make it quick. This is a long question. Shauna, I'm a member of several hotel guest bonus programs. Hilton, Marriott. For many years, one of the benefits was a free breakfast. A real hot breakfast. Not that garbage that you get at Hampton Inns. But recently, that seems to have gone away. My question is, can corporate chains promise things and then take them away? Isn't there a liability in telling people that they get something and then not giving it to them? Signed, me hungry in the morning.
Shonda, this is being discussed in many places online. Yes, it's we talk about this with the credit cards. They give you benefits and then they say, "Ooh, wait a minute, huh, that's costing us a lot of money. Maybe we should pull that back a little bit." So that's what's happened here. Instead of them giving you a full breakfast, which at a Marriott hotel now might cost $20, $22, $24 retail, a buffet wouldn't be abnormal for it to be $20 plus tax and whatever gratuity that you leave. So what they've done is they've said, wow, that's, you know what? If we didn't give them a free breakfast, but we just gave them a coupon that gave them a discount on breakfast, they'd probably be okay with that. I mean, they'd grow in a little bit, but they'd be okay with that. So let's do that. So that's what's happening, is that at Hilton, Marriott, those are two examples, instead of giving you the full breakfast, oh, we'll give you a coupon. You can use it for breakfast or dinner or whatever overpriced meal in the restaurant that you want, and it'll give you a little bit of a discount, but it won't give you that keyword free. So you're not imagining things. This is exactly what's going on. And yes, can they do this and then take them back? Yes, they can. Because if you dig down into the fine print in those credit cards and bonus reward program things, there'll always be a clause in there that basically says we can do whatever we want whenever we want to, and there's not anything you can do about it. And once in a while they get caught with their pants down, but not very often. So it's just the rule of diminished returns, and that's the way it is. So don't base your stay or your business strictly on a reward program, because increasingly, and as time goes on in the future, you're going to see them pull back more benefits than you're going to say, well, it's like when we tell you to use those airline points because they'll never be worth tomorrow what they were worth today.
Well, there you go. Thanks for sending in the questions. Remember, you can send yours in at travelguysradio.com. Mark, final word.
Thank you much for your time and for listening to us ramble this week. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. See you next week, 10 o'clock.